Perhaps I can ask you to turn, please, in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. It was the 20th of February, 1547. 4 days after the funeral of Henry VIII, that Edward, his son, was crowned king in Westminster Abbey in London. Edward the VI of England, as he is known in history. The Archbishop of Canterbury at that time was Thomas Cranmer. Afterwards, he would suffer martyrdom in the reign of Queen Mary. But Thomas Cranmer spoke at the coronation of Edward the VI. And he described Edward in a very particular way. He described him as a second Josiah, the king that we have read about in the latter part of our reading today. Now, Thomas Cranmer couldn't have foreseen that his description of Edward was truly very fitting, because there would be a number of comparisons between Josiah in the Old Testament and Edward, the King of England. But I have an idea that the thing that made Thomas Cranmer use this description of Edward the VI may have been the similarity in his age with that of Josiah. Because when Edward came to the throne, he was only 9 years old. And according to this passage, the very beginning, we read these words, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. So I think he drew this comparison, certainly in the first case, because they were both boy kings. And I want us today for a moment or two to think about not the boy King Edward the VI, though you can read about him if you're interested in history, but the boy King Josiah that we are introduced to here. This 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and indeed chapter 35, will tell us in great detail some of the things that Josiah did during his reign. But at the very beginning, the passage focuses more on Josiah himself. It's good what he did during his reign, for he was a truly great king and a good king. But the passage begins by focusing upon him, what he himself was. And you know, that's what the Lord is chiefly interested in today. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs, and it says of a man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as far as the Lord is concerned today, it's what we are within. Man looketh on the outward appearance, the Bible says, but God looketh on the heart. What are we within? What are we in reality? That's the most important thing. And that's what the Bible focuses upon here at the start. You see, it says here in 2 Chronicles 34, in verse 2, concerning Josiah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, And they walked in the ways of David his father, and he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of his father. So the thing that the Bible puts its finger on immediately about Josiah is the fact that he began to seek the Lord. That's what we want to speak about for a moment or two today. First of all, as far as his seeking of the Lord is concerned, think about how early it was. I wonder, did you notice as we read that verse, the way it's put there? At the very beginning of verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young. Now we know he was young. If that statement had not been there, we still would have known he was young, because we were told he was 8 years old when he began to reign. And now it's the 8th year of his reign. So he's in his 16th year, or maybe 16 all out. So we know from that he was young. Of course he was young. He was only 16 years old or thereabouts. And yet the Bible says, while he was yet young. We will well know that there's nothing put in the Bible unless there's a reason for it. And so the Bible is putting here an emphasis upon the fact that he was young. It wants to draw our attention especially to that. And there's no doubt that the best time to seek the Lord is when we are young. There's no doubt about that. They that seek me early, the Bible says, will find me. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So the best time to seek the Lord is when we are young. Sadly today, many spend their youth in the pursuit of sin. They spend their youth in the pursuit of so-called pleasures. And can I be so bold as to say, sadly, that at the age when Josiah was seeking the Lord, many, even who are brought up through the church, begin to drift away from the Lord and from the things of the Lord. So there's much that we need to pray about. We need to hedge our young people around, surely, with prayer as they grow up and as they're exposed to pressures. Maybe late in high school or into university. There's much for us to pray about. You see, there's a question for us all today. Can we look to a time when we sought the Lord for ourselves? You'll find as you read through the story of Josiah that certain years are mentioned, certain dates are significant. So, for example, if you go down to verse 8 of chapter 34, you'll find it talks about the 18th year of his reign. Something significant happened in the 18th year of his reign. And if you look at verse 3, just after where we paused our reading today, it talks about the 12th year in his reign. And, of course, we've already noticed the reference to the 8th year, significant dates in the life of King Josiah. And the question for all of us is, is there a significant date in our lives? A time when we came to recognize that we were sinners in need of salvation. When we recognized that the blood of Christ alone could cleanse us from sin. For myself, I must say that though I was brought up through the church, I was brought up to learn the catechism, which I have to say never really left me. I was brought up to learn passages from the Bible, some of which I can still recite to this day. It was not until I was 18 years old when the light of God dawned upon my soul, and when I saw my need of a Saviour, and when I was brought personally to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was at a funeral of a neighbour quite recently, and I found it very interesting to hear something of his story. He was a man fairly well on in years when this happened. But through Isaiah 55, he was brought to realize that he needed to seek the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And so the question is there a significant time in our lives when we sought the Lord Jesus Christ? And even though it wasn't early, how essential it is that there is such a time. And if we have never sought Christ for ourselves, how essential that it is that we seek him even now. But you'll notice as you read this about him seeking the Lord in his youth, you'll notice there's a word that's used. In verse 1, it says that he began to reign. And you'll notice when it comes to talking about his seeking of the Lord in verse 3, while he was yet young, he began to seek the Lord. So it wasn't just something he did. Now don't get me wrong. There's absolutely no doubt that we are saved from sin in a moment of time. There's no doubt about that. The promise of the scripture is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But in another sense, it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. We keep on seeking him. We seek him for salvation, but we keep on seeking him, not to save us, but we keep on seeking him to know more of him, to know his will, to know how to follow him and serve him. And of this I am convinced. It is not enough to say I sought Christ years ago, or I sought Christ when I was young. The question is, am I seeking him today and every day? Is our experience of him absolutely up to date? And I think that's well illustrated in the life of Paul the Apostle. He had that amazing experience of conversion on the Damascus Road. But after many, many years, he wrote these words, "Oh, that I might know him." He's still seeking him and still seeking to know more of him. Consider how early it was. And I'm so happy today and have rejoiced in this every time. Since the first day I came here, it's so good to see so many young people here. We go to places these days and there's not many young folks, maybe none at all in actual fact. So we rejoice there are so many young people here. And I'm sure we all do that. But let every young person today, and older person too, but young people particularly, let us all look into our own hearts before the Lord. Have I sought the Lord for myself? For salvation is a personal thing. How young it was when he sought the Lord. Notice also that this passage brings out how genuine it was. Wonder, did you notice that there's a link between verse 2 and verse 3? Because it says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then we have at the beginning of verse 3 the word for. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. There's a link between the fact that he sought the Lord and he did that which was right. His doing right flowed from his seeking the Lord. It was the fruit of his seeking the Lord. It was his seeking of the Lord that influenced the pattern of his whole life. It was the foundation upon which his whole life was built. And it will always be the case. If a person is genuinely following the Lord, it must impact upon their lives. It must be seen in the way in which they live. Are we doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord? Not that Josiah did it perfectly, and not that we do it perfectly. But are we seeking by God's grace to live for him the way we should? In that famous chapter of faith in Hebrews 11, we read by faith Enoch, when the Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. And that's a challenge, isn't it, for every one of us? You see, you notice it doesn't only say he did that which was right, but you'll notice it says that he walked in the ways of David, verse 2. He walked in the ways of David, his father. David is often set forth as a role model, as one who followed the Lord in spite of his well-documented failures. And maybe our parents or our grandparents were godly people who diligently sought to follow the Lord. I wonder today, are we walking in their ways? I cannot but be reminded of a verse again in the book of Hebrews. Having set before us the example of many faithful servants of God, the writer of Hebrews says, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you know what adds further to this, if you look at verse 2, and the latter part of that verse, it says he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Doesn't say that of other kings. There was a steadfastness about him. There was an unwaveringness. He didn't wander about. He didn't decline to the right nor to the left. He kept straight on, following and seeking the Lord. There was something genuine about his seeking after the Lord. And isn't that what the Lord, and isn't that what the world is looking for today? Something more than a mere outward show. Something that's real, something that's seen in our lives. from day to day. So as far as his seeking of the Lord was concerned, how early it was, how genuine it was. But the third thing is this, how remarkable it was. I wonder, did you say today, why did we begin our reading where we began our reading? I wonder, did that thought flick across anybody's mind today? We started not with Josiah, and not even with his father, but with his grandfather. And Josiah's story is remarkable because of that fact. In the New Testament, Paul spoke of Timothy's unfeigned faith, which dwelt first in thy grandmother and thy mother. And some of us have had that sort of experience. That's the background from which some of us come. If you like, we were brought up in the faith. But that's not the background that Josiah had. It's not the background. Just go back for a moment to chapter 33 and look at his grandfather Manasseh. We cannot read all of these verses, but what an absolute tale of disaster and woe it was. Manasseh was the vilest of the vile. If there was anything wrong and sinful and wicked, that's what Manasseh did. But when you come to verse 11 in the story of Manasseh, we read that he was carried away captive into Babylon. And it says in verse 12, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord. This is chapter 33, verse 12. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him and was entreated of him. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And if you read, and we didn't read the verses, but if you read on from verse 14, you'll find that this was a genuine thing. Manasseh really changed. No more of his sinful practices of setting up idols in the house of God, of worshipping abominations. Isn't that amazing? That this man did the worst and vilest of things, and yet, when he prayed, God was entreated of him. I think that's amazing. I mean, if somebody did all of these terrible things on us, and they came to us, we would maybe shun them. But when he humbled himself, when he was brought to repentance, God forgave him. And even gave him back his kingdom. And he came back to show that things were changed. Isn't the grace of God an amazing thing? That God can truly turn the hearts of the worst of sinners. And he's willing to forgive the vilest. And some of us rejoice in that today. And we all rejoice in it. And we're encouraged by it. Because God can turn the blackest heart. Let's never give up on that. Look at his father. We read about his father in verse 21. Josiah's father. He was 22 and he began to reign. And he reigned only 2 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. As did Manasseh his father. Sadly, tragically. He imbibed the evil ways of his father, but he was never brought to repentance. He was never brought to repentance. And so from this background, Josiah, when he was only a young person, began to seek the Lord from his earliest days. The only thing we can say is that this was God's work. This was God's work. If it had been human work, he would more likely have walked in the ways of Ammon, his father. This was God's work. And today, every one of us without exception, have to give thanks. If we have been brought to repentance from the depths of sin, or brought to follow Christ from our youngest days, it's all down to the mercy and the grace of God. I'll finish quickly with this word. He sought the Lord, how early it was, how genuine it was, how remarkable it was, encouraging us even to think about those who are far away today, that God in his mercy can reach them. But consider how good it was. Speaking of Josiah, Matthew Henry, the famous commentator, said, "Happy art thou, O land, when thy king is such a child." How good it was that God raised up somebody like Josiah to be the king of Judah in its latter days. How good it would be these days in which we live if people in authority were such people as Josiah was. How good it would be if they had an eye to God's word, and if they honoured the Lord the way they should. How much better it would be for the land. And we all know that today. But how good it was for Josiah himself, especially at the end of his life. How did Josiah finish his life? We've read how he began. He began by seeking the Lord. Well, if you just flick over a chapter to chapter 35 and look at verse 23. Here's what it says. The archer shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." His servants, therefore, verse 24, took him out of that chariot and put him in a second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his father and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned. He died in battle. That's how he died. He died a violent death. But what does the Bible say? If you look at chapter 34 and verse 28, the Lord said to Josiah, "Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace." That was the result of his seeking the Lord and seeking him all his days. Even though he died in violent circumstances, he died in peace because all was well with him. On the 25th of May past, my wife visited her mum in a nursing home in Rathfarnham. She was 1 month short of her 101st birthday. And as they talked that day, her mum quoted words that will be well known to many of us. Words spoken by Paul: "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." At 9:20, the time is engraven on my mind, we got a phone call that she was taken unwell. And on the 19th of June, she passed away just short of her 101st birthday. Isn't it good that perhaps the last words that she was really able to speak were the words of her confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom she had been brought to seek as a young woman. Josiah died a violent death in battle, but he was brought to his grave in peace, the Bible says, because he had sought the Lord. Wonder, do we share the confidence that Josiah and my mother-in-law have? Can we say today, I know whom I have believed? And if we cannot, let us not rest one moment more until we can say it. I got to thinking yesterday about the Jews in Thessalonica who opposed Paul. And here's how they described the way that Paul was preaching. They said, Paul says, there is another king, one Jesus. And while it's good today for us to think about the young king Josiah and the message that he brings to us, young and old, I think it's even more important for us today to think about this other king that Paul preached, even the Lord Jesus Christ. It's him we need to seek. It's him we need to follow. It's him we need to get to know. For he alone can save us and make us fit for heaven. And that's more important than anything else. May the Lord bless his word today.